If you're a facilities manager at a university, you know students rely on the cafeteria for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and the occasional late-night snack. So when a dishwasher breaks down and dirty plates pile up, the mess hall can turn messy in the blink of an eye. Enter Grainger. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast delivery, the product you need now is never far away. So you can turn that dishwasher back into a lean, clean washing machine. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. And we are watching live coverage of the confirmation hearing of Pete Hegseth, President Trump's stellar pick to be Secretary of Defense. And ladies and gentlemen, I will say this right out of the gate. What a terrific job Pete Hegseth is doing. Some of the questions that have been asked, just absolutely appalling and offensive and grotesque, everything you would expect from a bunch of Democrats. But let me say that Pete Hegseth has displayed great character. He has not wavered one bit under fire. And no doubt this man has spent a lot of time in combat. He's a decorated combat veteran. He knows what's going on here. And Pete Hegseth is holding his head high. We have a lot of audio we're going to get through today. But I can tell you, the Democrats are slinging a lot of mud, and it's not even sticking. It's not even sticking. By the way, who's in charge? Who's in charge of security at the U.S. Capitol? They let in all of these radical leftist wackadoodles, and you know who they are. You can smell them before you see them. So there's really no excuse here unless people have, I don't know, some sort of a sinus infection, and they can't smell these leftist protesters. But five times now, Hegseth has been interrupted by these hecklers. Somebody actually called him a Christian Zionist, and Hegseth should have turned around and said, "You're welcome." So anyway, we're going to get to that and your thoughts as well on the questions and how this is playing out. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to get ahead of the game here, the head of the curve, but Pete Hegseth is going to be the next Secretary of Defense. It's pretty much, I mean, this is baked into the cake here. 901-260-5926. That is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, I want to say something real quick here about Senator Richard Blumenthal from Connecticut. He is the Democrat from Connecticut. And this guy is really a piece of work. He has been in the Senate for a number of years. And he says that Pete Hegseth lacks the credentials, lacks the qualifications to become the next defense secretary. And as appalling as these comments are, you need to know something about Senator Blumenthal, something that you may not be aware of, because this guy is a sleazebag. This guy is a coward. This guy is guilty of stolen valor. Now, a lot of people don't like to talk about this, but he created a big controversy back in 2008. He was the Attorney General of Connecticut. He was running for the U.S. Senate. And Blumenthal had been out there on the campaign trail talking about how he had served time in Vietnam. And he was talking about how he was ridiculed and how he had to endure the taunts and even sometimes physical abuse for wearing the uniform of this great nation. But here's the cold, hard reality. Richard Blumenthal never served in Vietnam, never set foot in the country. As a matter of fact, he received at least 4 or 5 deferments from having to serve. While red-blooded American patriotic young men, and let's get real for a moment, most of them from working-class families, while they were giving their lives and sacrificing their lives in the rice fields of Vietnam, Blumenthal was getting a degree from Harvard, and then, thanks to another deferment, he was able to do a fellowship in England. So the New York Times, of all people, actually called this guy out back in 2010. They did a very in-depth story about this, and Blumenthal said that he just misspoke. But the Times, to their credit, they actually laid out the whole sordid affair. And it turns out that it wasn't just a one-time deal. It was over and over and over and over and over again that this guy was giving speeches in front of veterans groups claiming that he was a Vietnam veteran, when in fact he was not. How and why the good people of Connecticut elected this guy, I don't get it. I just don't get it. But we're dealing with the matter of stolen valor here. So for any guy to stand up, and especially for him to sit there on the Senate Armed Forces Committee, and by the way, how did a guy guilty of stolen valor end up on the Senate Armed Forces Committee? But for a guy like Richard Blumenthal, a sleazeball snake, to sit there in judgment of Pete Hegseth, a man who wore the uniform of this country, a man who volunteered to go into the military, a man who volunteered to put his life on the line so that we could achieve justice for what happened on 9/11. And you're telling me that Blumenthal is going to stand in judgment of that guy? I don't think so. I don't think so. And I really do hope that sometime during the circus today, somebody calls out Blumenthal for being the fraud he is. The man is a disgrace to the Senate, and the man is a disgrace to his family. Lying about something like serving in the United States military. Shame on you, Senator Blumenthal. So anyway, those are the kinds of people, the kinds of characters that are attacking Pete Hegseth today. By the way, somebody, I was talking to the lovely Kristen, and she does my makeup for Newsmax and normally do it before the show. And she said that she was watching Kristen Gillibrand's back and forth. And what a, she's the blonde chick, the senator from New York State. Oh, just the grating voice. Rand, you're a bit, you hate women. Are you saying that you don't want women serving in the military? Oh, geez, it's just lady, stifle. So anyway, so I was talking to Kristen, but she says, I was ready to throw something at the TV. No, I hear you. Some of these people, Maisie Hirono, you got to listen to this now. Maisie Hirono, she is the Senate chick from Hawaii, and she's bringing up these allegations, all unproven false allegations, that Hegseth came to work at Fox drunk. He never did. Anyway, cut 11.
By people who worked with you at Fox News. Do you know that being drunk at work is prohibited for service members under the UCMJ?
Senator, those yes are no. Multiple false anonymous reports peddled by NBC
Do you
News
know that
run directly contradictory to the dozens of men and women at Fox News Channel who I work
hearing,
with
I'm
who
not
came
hearing
on
the
record
to my question.
And said they
in your
never
opening statement,
that.
Mr. Hegseth, you commit to holding leaders accountable at all levels. That includes you, of course. And frankly, as Secretary, you will be on the job 24/7.
Okay, so wait, let me get this straight here, just for a second here. So Luau girl over here, she's accusing Pete Hegseth of being drunk on the job. Can we just go back and play? I want to hear her question again.
By people who worked with you at Fox News. Do you know that being drunk at work is prohibited for service members?
Do you know that being drunk is... I think Hirono's been hitting the sake a little bit. That's what I think's going down. Jeez, Alou. And then Gillibrand, I can't even, you know, I told the guys, we have so much audio, but I'm like, do not cut the Gillibrand, because from a radio perspective, it's just too grating to the ear.
You don't like women, do you?
I mean, it was just over and over and over again. It's like the gentle lady's time has expired. Thank God. But there was a lot of other good stuff. And I will say that Hegseth has just really done a remarkable job. He really has. And I think that he's going into the Pentagon, and he is going to have a very big job ahead of him. Because the reality is that the Pentagon has been destroyed by the left. And this goes all the way back to B.H. Obama, Barack Hussein Obama. He turned the greatest fighting force known to mankind on the face of this earth. He turned it into a social engineering petri dish. And a lot of the woke crap, the critical race theory crap, all of that, it came out of the Pentagon and their training manuals. And now Hegseth has to go in. And we're talking about 12 years of this, and he is going to, it has rotted the Pentagon to the core. And Hegseth is going to have to go in there and clean house and do it quickly. So it seems to me, ladies and gentlemen, that we have an obligation to pray for Pete Hegseth right now. And honestly, every single nominee that Trump has put forward, and we have to pray that God protects them, because they're all of them are walking into a den of vipers and snakes, very evil people. And we have to pray that just God gives them a peace of mind, that God protects them and puts the hedge of protection around and protects their families. Because we're dealing with very bad people up on Capitol Hill right now. All right, I want to go to the phone lines. I normally don't do this, but I want to go to the phone lines. Don, and I understand, Don, that you served in the U.S. Navy back during the Vietnam era. Is that right?
That's correct. I was on the USS Long Beach for four consecutive years off the coast of Vietnam.
Don, when you hear people like Senator Richard Blumenthal, this just disgusts me. I don't think a lot of people are talking about this, but the fact that this man lied about serving in Vietnam, and he's going to stand in judgment of Pete Hegseth?
The stolen valor is the worst thing that you could do. You may as well send yourself to Alaska somewhere. Stolen valor, the worst. It's worse than robbing a store, a bank, or anything.
It's disgusting to me. And the fact that the people of Connecticut, they knew all this. I mean, this was not some sort of a secret. They all knew, and yet they still sent this guy to Washington, D.C., and now he's on the Senate Armed Forces Committee. I think it's just a slap in the face to everybody who's ever served.
You know, he's not the only one. What's the other senator from Connecticut who is always with the Green Power stuff? And he's been around for years. And he was in the military, but he didn't do anything. I can't think of his name.
Well, it was, I think, Chris Dodd back in the day. We'll find out. It's Chris Murphy.
The UN guy. The guy who goes around Green Peak Power and all that stuff.
All right. Anyway,
I went in real quick. I went in 3 days after high school. My father was in the Navy. I did 4 years. On a ship, one ship, and I stayed in 24 years. Praise to the U.S. Navy.
I love it. Don, God bless you, and God bless you for serving our great nation. Thank you, sir. And I do want to hear from military veterans, maybe some of you who are serving. What do you think about Pete Hegseth as your next Secretary of Defense? Here, I just got this message. I'm a combat veteran, and I support Pete for SecDef. There's a war on warriors, and he is on our side. What a great way to frame it. There is a war on warriors. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. The national debt has skyrocketed past $36 trillion. Elon Musk is warning that inflation is going to rise before it gets better. And President Trump, he told us it's going to take some time to fix all of this mess, which is why your savings are on the line. And that's why you need to diversify and fortify your retirement plans. And the good news is you can take action now. Gold is a proven shield during very uncertain economic times. In 2024, last year, gold outperformed the S&P 500, hit 39 record highs, and climbed over 27%. That's phenomenal. which is why Priority Gold is now offering my listeners, you guys, a free wealth protection guide. It is your step-by-step plan to fortify your savings with gold. There is no cost, no obligation, and you're going to get instant delivery. So I want you to text the word STARNES, S-T-A-R-N-E-S, my last name. Text STARNES to 24999 or visit PriorityGold.com to get your free gold guide. Do not wait. Do it now. Protect your family, your future, everything you've worked so hard to build. Text STARNES to 24999. We'll be right back.
The Department of Defense under Donald Trump will achieve peace through strength. And in pursuing these America First national security goals, will remain patriotically apolitical and stridently constitutional. Unlike the current administration, politics should play no part in military matters. We are not Republicans. We are not Democrats. We are American warriors. Our standards will be high, and they will be equal, not equitable. That's a very different word. We need to make sure every warrior is fully qualified on their assigned weapon system, every pilot's fully qualified and current on the aircraft they are flying, and every general or flag officer is selected for leadership or promotion purely based on performance, readiness, and merit. Leaders at all levels will be held accountable, and warfighting and lethality and the readiness of the troops and their families will be our only focus.
Yeah, I just love this guy, Pete Hegseth. Pete and I worked together for a number of years at Fox, and as I mentioned before, I think I mentioned this before, his wife, Jen, was my executive producer back when I was working at Fox News Channel. As a matter of fact, our offices were directly next door to each other in the Fox Tower. So I saw Pete quite a bit, and again, worked with his wife, Jen. They're just good salt of the earth people and a lot of fun. Came out, we had a big, we did a book signing. Oh, what was this one? Culture Jihad. We did a book signing at Hill Country Barbecue. We had a live country western band. It was a lot of fun, a lot of barbecue, good eating. Good fun, and they're just good down-home folks. Of course, Pete and Jen now live in the Nashville area where they have a farm. And, you know, Pete is right about something, and we'll get into, we'll play this. Let's see here. Cut number three, please.
And as Jenny and I pray together every morning, all glory, regardless of the outcome, belongs to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. His grace and mercy abounds each day. May his will be done.
Yeah, look, here's the deal. Everybody listening to this show, all of us, we have been through things in our lives. We have done things in our lives we're not proud of. That all of us who profess to be Christians, we are sinners saved by grace. And Pete Hegseth is not standing in judgment of anyone. He's admitted that he's made serious mistakes in his life, and we all know what those are. I'm not going to rehash them here. They're being rehashed right now up on Capitol Hill, and it's an ugly thing that's happening. But that's the reality of our politics right now. But I believe that we serve a God of second chances and third chances and fourth and fifth and sixth chances. And we are always striving to be like Christ. But we're going to make big mistakes. And the idea, and a lot of this stuff, it's just lies. Like the idea that Pete Hegseth is a drunk, it's simply not true at all. So for these senators to bring this up, they want to destroy. And this is the politics of personal destruction. This is what they did, go all the way back to the confirmation hearing, the Supreme Court confirmation hearing of Robert Bork. This is ugly, folks. And this is why the best and the brightest among us don't want to get involved in politics. There are some incredible people out there, great American patriots, but they don't want to drag their family through what all these nominees are going to have to go through. So when somebody like Pete Hegseth, knowing that he's got some past, he's got some skeletons in the closet, but I don't believe them to be disqualifiers. He's openly admitted he's had mistakes and done things wrong in his life, but he's made amends. And I believe in something called grace. And I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat. You follow the teachings of Christ. You screw up, you ask God to forgive, God's going to forgive. All right, got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
You've asked and MyPillow listened. The most requested offer ever. Right now, you can get the queen-size premium MyPillow for only $19.98. Hi, this is Todd Stearns, and I love MyPillow, made with patented adjustable fill. It adjusts to your exact individual needs regardless of your sleep position, and it helps keep your neck aligned. It holds its shape all night long so you get the best sleep of your life. But that's not all. You can also get a six-piece kitchen or towel bath set for only $25. And the brand new mattress topper for as low as $69.98. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506. Use promo code STARNS to get huge discounts on all MyPillow products, including the premium queen-size MyPillow for only $19.98. That's the lowest price ever. So don't delay. Order now. Use my promo code STARNS at MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506. And welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us, everybody. By the way, welcome to all of our brand new listeners in Salina, Kansas. We're honored to have you folks joining the conversation. Write down our number. You'll need it if you want to call in. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our next guest is a combat veteran, medical doctor, great congressman representing Tennessee's 7th Congressional District in Congress, also chairman of Homeland Security Committee, Congressman Mark Green. Congressman, been a while. Hope you're doing well.
Doing great, Todd. Thanks for having me on the show.
You know, Congressman, before we jump into some of the other big stories that we've been following here, your reaction to the confirmation process, Pete Hegseth, I think he's holding his own out there right now.
Well, that's what I'm hearing. I'm obviously decisively engaged in the nation's business myself, so not just sitting in front of the TV watching, unfortunately. I'd love to see how Pete's doing. He's a friend. He's a Tennessean, but I'm sure he's doing great.
Well, it's being reported that Hegseth is going to have the votes. This is just a matter of formalities, and they're going to try to smack him around a little bit, the Democrats are. But everything I've heard, I mean, he has really nailed it, and I'm very excited for him to go in and fix what's broken in the Pentagon right now.
He's a thoughtful guy. You know, I've read, in fact, I do a annual dinner when the Tennessee legislature comes in and at the beginning just to listen to them, you know, as the state legislators talking to me and what are the issues for D.C. that are concerns for them, right? I do that every year. Last year, I had Pete Hegseth come and give out a copy of his book to each one of those guys on education. He's a bright guy, and I think he's going to do a fantastic job. He's served, and he's the right guy for the job.
There's going to be a lot of stuff. And someone asked me yesterday on the show, they said, what do you think is going to be the first priority? And I said, there are going to be about 100 first priorities, and they're all going to get done about the same time. What are you gearing up for in the House?
So there's two sort of things to answer that question. I have my responsibility as chairman of Homeland. In fact, this evening I'll be presenting my vision for the next Congress to the members, the new members and the members of the Homeland Security Committee. And then we've got, you know, what are the Trump agenda stuff that, and particularly the near terms on that is reconciliation. So in the reconciliation piece, I've got, I think, one of the most important chunks, and that's border security. It's a combination of building some more wall, getting the technology to support that wall and the crossing sites, license plates, readers, x-ray machines, communications mechanisms for the troops that are down there, for the Border Patrol agents. We've got to fix the hiring issue. We've got to fix the retention issue. So the people piece of this is really important. So wall, technology, people. And then we've got to pay some states back who have borne the brunt of this, particularly Texas. So that's all. And there are grants, and they're back to local law enforcement who are doing the job of helping us with border security. So that's the reconciliation side, my piece of it. On the committee side, you know, we not only have a border security problem, we've got a cybersecurity problem in this country. We've got China in the infrastructure, in the telecoms. They're in the AT&T phone system. They're in Verizon, and we've got to fix this. The biggest issue is our cyber workforce. So I'll have a piece of legislation, same piece of legislation that we did right at the end last time, got it refined, but it'll be right up quick in the hopper, and that's the scholarship program similar to ROTC to get cyber professionals in the government. And it'll be a positive return on investment because we pay so much money for these consultants to come in. Much better to pay for a kid's education and then pay them a captain's pay to work for the government, pay back the obligation, and then they're out in the workforce helping the country. So that's one of the big deals. And the drone issue, Todd.
Yeah.
My bill on drones from last cycle that had to go through four committees and didn't get to the floor, that's going to be a big priority for me, and that is to give and grant, with some constraints, local law enforcement the ability to take down these drones.
Well, the issue there, and it's a very real safety problem, as we saw just the other day in California, where one of the planes trying to put out the fires was hit by a drone.
Yeah, so the drones, we had a flight yesterday coming into, DCA redirected because of a drone. I don't know if that made the news, but the people on the plane were told that by the pilot. So, look, these are huge safety issues in that regard for civil aviation, but they're also a massive national security threat when it comes to things like, think about the open football stadiums. We've got Super Bowl coming up. Of course, that's in the Superdome. It's closed, but
The inauguration coming up, outdoors.
The inauguration. I mean, absolutely. Now, they'll have DOJ, DHS, and DOD all have authorities to take these things down. It's, someplace like the inauguration, they're going to have counter UAS there, right? So that, but it's all across America, a small college game or a parade or a county fair. I mean, these things are all massive targets, and yet we don't have local law enforcement with the capability or the authorization to take drones down. So that bill of mine has got to pass.
Tucker Carlson, I don't know if you saw his most recent video. He says a U.S. intelligence agent told him the New Jersey drones were actually from China, and they took down a Chinese satellite that was sort of the command and control for the drone network. Is there any truth to that at all? Anything you can shed light on?
Well, I've been classified briefings on this topic, and that hasn't come up. That doesn't mean that there isn't something that they're not telling us, but no one's brought that up to us in our briefings.
Now, I know that, you're in the classified briefings. You can't really say much, but President Trump said that he would be telling the American people what those drones were up to and their origins. Is that your understanding as well?
I was with him Saturday night. For dinner with the chairman of all the committee, met with him, and that topic did not come up. If he says that's what he's going to do, that's probably what he's going to do.
Any need?
I hope so, anyway. I mean, the transparency issue with the American people is a trust issue, and we got to let people know.
Oh, absolutely. And again, I mean, it's just you're not knowing, and you've got a lot of conspiracy theories, a lot of speculation
right.
out there. So,
yeah.
You know, I get it. It's 100%. Kind of it's unsettling. Can we go back to the border for a moment? And again, we've been hearing reports that a couple of the people accused of setting these fires in California are, in fact, illegals. The fact of the matter is, the cold hard reality is, we've had so many people coming across the border. The ICE agents really haven't been doing what they're assigned to do. Do you anticipate ICE agents getting back to their original mission?
Yeah, absolutely. You can 100% count on that. I met with Tom Homan, I guess a week ago or so, and he's chomping at the bit to get ICE back to doing its core mission. And he's got a funds request, of course, understood. That is going to happen. Now, you know, you've got some state law enforcement agencies, local law enforcement agencies, that are being told you're not going to participate. And we're going to figure out a way to make that very painful for those local law enforcement and those cities that do that.
Well, I'm glad to hear, and you guys are creative, and you're going to come up with ways that will convince them. You're going to make them an offer they can't refuse, I guess, Congressman, is a nice way of saying it.
Well, when I was a state senator, you know, Joe Carr had passed the bill that made being a sanctuary city in the state of Tennessee illegal, but there was no teeth in it. So I came in and put teeth to that bill, removing all of the state economic development money to any city that became a sanctuary city. And that's certainly an idea that we can do nationwide. But that bill passed and it wasn't signed into law. The governor at the time just let it become law without his signature. But, you know, it's law in Tennessee. They lose their economic development money if they become a sanctuary city.
How secure would you say the homeland is right now under the Biden-Harris regime?
We're at our greatest risk before 1941. I mean, this nation, I mean, it really, honestly, I don't know, it may even be in the history of the country. We've allowed, you know, 60,000-70,000 Chinese nationals coming to the United States. Director Ray, the other day in an interview, you know, admitted that there are cells here, Chinese cells here. We've got the drug cartels that are now metastasizing and connecting with the gangs in America to create this criminal network. We've got Russia, you know, in Ukraine. We've got Hamas and this massive imbalance of power in the Middle East, where Iran has just been turned loose. And Saudi Arabia, whom we used to partner with in order to balance against Iran, has been, you know, basically denied anything they've wanted militarily or anything. So that you got Hamas in Israel, you've got Hezbollah, you've got Iran and all of its proxies, to include the Houthis, disrupting, you know, shipping in the Red Sea. China is chomping at the bit at Taiwan. They're still punching the Philippines in the face over the islands. I mean, we are as unstable a planet as we've been in a very long time. Some would say maybe pre-World War I, pre-World War II, but
wow.
I don't know. It's bad. And it's all Joe Biden's failed leadership.
Unbelievable. And the good news is Trump is going to fix all of this. It's going to take some time, and we just have to hope and pray that none of these, you know, cells are activated and we don't have another situation like whatever happened in New Orleans. You know, the thing with New Orleans and the assassination attempts against Trump, what happened in Las Vegas, it just disappears. You never hear any resolution. You never hear anything about investigations into what happened.
I will say on the Trump assassination, the the task force in the Senate and in the House had fantastic recommendations. That all that was public, and now it'll be Trump's director of Secret Service that executes the fix, right? So, that one, I think we got that addressed, and I missed the list, the other part of the list you rattled off. But, yeah, there are a lot of issues.
A lot, yes, that's it. Well, Congressman, always good hearing from you, and we'll get you back on soon. Congratulations, and I think it's going to be a great, great 4 years for the country.
It's going to be fun, and I'll keep you posted, Todd. Thanks.
All right. Congressman Mark Green, everybody, represents Tennessee's 7th Congressional District. He is chairman of the very important Homeland Security Committee. And you just heard him rattle off some things. You know, this Tucker Carlson thing is pretty amazing, that the intel he's getting, and you heard the congressman say he had not heard that, but the reporting is that the drones over New Jersey were Chinese, and they were actually being, the command and control was actually a Chinese satellite, which has apparently reportedly been taken out. Also, and this is an interesting development, there are reports of a third assassination attempt on Trump, this one at Jimmy Carter's funeral, and we'll play some audio from a press briefing yesterday. But one of the guys was armed with knives and a machete. The other set a car on fire in the underground parking garage of the Capitol. So we'll try to get some intel on that. But let me just say this. If you're going to the inauguration, have fun. Have a blast. Have a great time. You're going to be watching history in the making. But also have your head on a swivel, because you just don't know what's going on out there. And you heard the congressman say the security is going to be off the charts. But it's all it takes is one drone. All it takes is one van mowing people down. And we could have a very bad situation on our hands. That's all I'm going to say about that. All right, we got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. You heard the congressman talking about the chaos in America and the economy. It's a little troubling right now. The national debt has skyrocketed past $36 trillion. Elon Musk is warning that inflation is going to rise before it gets better. And President Trump, he told us it's going to take some time to fix all of this mess, which is why your savings are on the line. And that's why you need to diversify and fortify your retirement plans. And the good news is you can take action now. Gold is a proven shield during very uncertain economic times. In 2024, last year, gold outperformed the S&P 500, hit 39 record highs, and climbed over 27%. That's phenomenal, which is why Priority Gold is now offering my listeners, you guys, a free wealth protection guide. It is your step-by-step plan to fortify your savings with gold. There is no cost, no obligation, and you're going to get instant delivery. So I want you to text the word STARNES, STARNES, my last name, text STARNES to 24999 or visit PriorityGold.com to get your free gold guide. Do not wait. Do it now. Protect your family, your future, everything you've worked so hard to build. Text STARNES to 24999. We'll be right back.
I don't really like working.
I'm going to need a priority parking space.
I only work remotely.
How are your safe spaces?
Can I bring my dog to work?
Will your company protect me against microaggressions?
You're triggering me. Is this interview almost over?
You don't run a daycare. You run a business. So why use high-priced recruitment agencies who charge you up to 40% of an employee's first-year salary? So they're focused on getting you the costly talent, not the best fit, which means you get more of this.
What's your policy on paying employees to attend protests?
And I demand 8 weeks of vacation.
And I need at least 12 weeks of paid vacation.
I'm going to need a lot of mental health days.
Do you have a game room?
My pronouns are Z's and Z'er.
Isn't it time you hired grown-ups? Call redballoon.work and skip those high-priced recruitment agencies. Call 833-880-0600 for a free consultation. That's 833-880-0600 for a free consultation. RedBalloon.org.
Well, I'm just shocked. Absolutely shocked, ladies and gentlemen. Julia Roberts, very upset. She is lives in Los Angeles. And, of course, Julia came to fame as a Black Lives Matter supporter. And she's also a person who makes her living by playing make-believe for a living. Anyway, Julia Roberts is very upset because apparently very bad people are now looting the homes that have been damaged or destroyed in the wildfires in Rich and Tony Malibu. And she is quite upset that they're picking over the carcass or the carcai of the homes that were destroyed by the policies of the Democrats. She posted a message on social media yesterday. F you, looters. F you. Language, Miss Julia. Nobody likes that. Nobody likes a potty mouth. I find this very interesting that now all of a sudden, Julia Roberts, who was pro Black Lives Matter, has a problem with looting now that it's happening in her neighborhood. And it's really, it's somewhat offensive, Ms. Roberts, because as Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, also known as Sandy, as she once said, that these looters, these shoplifters, they're just hungry people. And they're just looking for a slice of bread. And maybe, just maybe, that's why what those people are doing right now in Pacific Palisades. They're just looking for some bread, looking for some orange juice, maybe. That's, you can't make this up. But Julia Roberts now all over Law and Order when it's happening in her backyard. All right, we got to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
I don't really like working.
I'm going to need a priority parking space.
I only work remotely.
How are your safe spaces?
Can I bring my dog to work?
Will your company protect me against microaggressions?
You're triggering me. Is this interview almost over?
You don't run a daycare. You run a business. So why use high-priced recruitment agencies who charge you up to 40% of an employee's first-year salary? So they're focused on getting you the costly talent, not the best fit, which means you get more of this.
What's your policy on paying employees to attend protests?
And I demand 8 weeks of vacation.
And I need at least 12 weeks of paid vacation.
I'm going to need a lot of mental health days.
Do you have a game room?
My pronouns are Z's and Z'er.
Isn't it time you hired grown-ups? Call redballoon.work and skip those high-priced recruitment agencies. Call 833-880-0600 for a free consultation. That's 833-880-0600 for a free consultation. RedBalloon.work.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Satsers, that's right. I love this American ride.
I don't know how Pete Hegseth does it. He has the patience of Job, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. I am your host, Todd Starnes, the voice of truth and hope across this great nation. Wow. So we've been monitoring the confirmation hearing. Pete's doing great. The liberal loons are going bonkers crazy. And we'll play a lot of the audio from that coming up in just a few moments. I do want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, though, and say hello to our good friend from the great state of Georgia, Congressman Mike Collins. Congressman, good to have you on today.
Hey, man. I appreciate you having us.
Yeah, so look, I know you were very passionate. You spearheaded the Laken Riley Act. This was a big deal for you, and I shared your anger with the Democrats who could not bring it upon themselves to actually you know, defend law-abiding American citizens from these illegals.
Yeah, you know, it's odd, isn't it? A no vote on Lake and Riley, I don't care if it's in the House or the Senate, just says that you are perfectly content with having criminals in your neighborhood and carrying out whatever violence that they want to until it becomes a major crime, and then you're going to contact ICE. And there's no need for that. These people break into our homes break into our country, pick them up, they parole them, they send them on taxpayer dimes across the country, give them travel, give them a roof over their head, put food in their belly and clothes on their back. And you would think that most people would go out there and get a decent job, but not these folks, and that's because that's not who they are. They're freaking criminals. And they brought their trade with them. And so why not here's a land opportunity where nothing's going to happen to you? You know, that's why I cannot believe that we even have to have a bill that says that we're going to kick out an illegal alien criminal who has been committing more crimes besides just breaking into the country.
See, here's what gets me, Congressman, and I do have incredible sympathy for anybody whose home has been destroyed by fires or floods or tornadoes. It doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat. You know, we're all human beings, and that's a great tragedy. The reality, though, is that the full weight of the Biden administration is going to help the people devastated in California. While a good many Southerners are still languishing in tents, waiting for a handout, waiting for help, and help is not coming to those people. Meanwhile, California is spending $31 billion a year for illegal aliens, and we're not taking care of our own people. Congressman, I got problems with that.
No, and you've got, and it's more problems than just that. It's the fact that those people don't manage the forest. It's the fact that those people don't want fresh water going into the ocean because it might kill a fish. It doesn't, their own state policies put them in the predicament that they're in. And now that it's hit the fan, and the place is burning down, now they're going to look to Washington to bail them out. When, on the other hand, just like you said, those folks in North Carolina were minding their own business, and that was nature. That was a hurricane. And it decimated that place. I was just up there 3 months ago, and they're still digging out of mud and dirt and living in tents. You're exactly right. FEMA, you know, another good Jimmy Carter administration effort to fix things, created FEMA. And, boy, they aren't worth, they're not worth killing.
Unbelievable what's happening, Congressman. And, again, it's all unfolding in real time, but these are, again, policies that came from Democrats, the diversity, equity, and inclusion. And President Trump, you guys are going to have your hands full. I have no doubt you're going to be able to undo a lot of this stuff, but a lot of damage has been done.
Oh, of course. You know, Todd, I'm just sitting here listening to debate on keeping boys out of girls' sports. Now, I wanted to listen to it because I don't know how do you debate that from the other side, saying it is okay? And then I sit and I listen to them say, you know, my friends on the other aisle are over here debating girls and boys, boys and girls sports, and we should be concentrating on other things. Well, you know, this is just one of the things that they screwed up amongst all the others that she's talking about. Yeah, we've got a whole laundry list of what needs to be fixed in this country because of what's happened in the past 4 years. So I'm sorry if this doesn't meet to rise to your level as a Democrat, but the American people had a mandate on November the 5th, and by God, we're fixing to fix this mess, and that's one of them.
I'm excited about it. I really am, Congressman.
The 119th Congress, we started working on reconciliation about a year ago with the committees in the House in the hopes that we would get the trifecta, you know, in hopes that we'd get the Senate, the White House, and keep the House. And by golly, we did it. And so we're ready. We're ready to go. We've got a budget we need to kick out, which we are, and then we'll hit the ground running with reconciliation and appropriations. It's time to get back to regular order in this place up here. And we have the opportunity this time around to really knock this thing out for the American people and get take our country back. And you're right. It's exciting to be a part of this.
Congressman,
you
know, it's...
You talk about Lake and Riley. The Lake and Riley Act was the first bill that we voted on in the 119th Congress. Had bipartisan support, sent it over to the Senate, and I've been whipping on senators just like Katie Britt for a week, and we are still pushing that thing forward. That could be the very first bill that's sitting on Donald Trump, President Trump's desk when he sits down January 20th.
Congressman Mike Collins joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line from Georgia's 10th Congressional District. Congressman, I want to ask you about the drones. President Trump says we're going to let everybody know what's going on day one or day two. He's going to get right to it and unleash all the information. Do you have any intel? We heard from we had Congressman Mark Green on in the last segment, and he affirmed what Marjorie Taylor Greene said yesterday, that there was a flight that came in close contact with a drone yesterday in D.C.
Yeah, I had not heard that. I don't doubt it. You know, if you listen to any of the news conference that was down at Mar-a-Lago with the governors, I had not heard until that day how many other governors were saying that they were having problems with drones flying over institutions and facilities that they knew that they didn't need to be flying over. So, you know, I'll tell you one thing. When Donald Trump says something, you can go to the bank on it. He's going to do it. And I think that's the other thing that the American people have just been looking for quite a while. And that's somebody that's going to say what they're going to do, and they come up here and they do it. So, you know, we're going to get the information out. I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, what the heck's been going on, just like everybody else in America.
You know, I have to imagine that Tom Homan's going to be your best friend because he is ready. It's kind of like back Fox used to send me down to the Kentucky Derby, and I picture him like one of those racehorses just chomping at the bit, ready for the race to start. And we're going to start seeing the roundup of illegals in this country.
Amen, brother. And here's the thing: that Lake and Riley Act, when it gets signed into law, is going to help ICE and local law enforcement tremendously, because when we pick these people up off of minor crimes like theft, because right now local law enforcement can't call ICE unless it's a major crime. Now, that doesn't make any sense to begin with. But once we fix it, then people like Jose Ibarra, who got cited for shoplifting the week before he murdered Lake and Riley, then he wouldn't have had that opportunity to do that. And so I'm looking forward to getting that into his hands and picking up anything else that they think that we might be able to do to help them. We're going to deport these people. If you're in the country illegal and you listening to Todd right now, you might as well pack your bags because you're going home.
That's it. Adios. You're gone. I mean, it's really that simple, and it has to be. And I just hope, Congressman, that we've been trying to prepare our audience for the narrative that the media is going to unleash. And it is going to be ugly, but the reality is, Homan said that he would be deporting families together. No families would be separated. They're all going together. And the other reality is that Joe Biden and his administration, his border czar, brought in hundreds of thousands of children without their parents, and we have no idea where mommy and daddy are.
Yeah, no. And I don't know what you're going to do on that end of it. You know, but the thing is, I remember when the first Trump administration, and that's all you heard about, was the kids that were coming across and how it was Trump's fault. But no word, no clue. They really haven't even been tracking these kids since they've come into the country.
Mm, goodness. All right. Well, Congressman, by the way, big plans for the inaugural. You're going to any of the balls or anything?
We'll be there. We'll be at the big ball that night. And then, of course, we've got one for our state society that we'll be at. So looking forward to it. This is history. This will be historical.
It will be. And it's going to be a great day. So many people are excited, and it's going to be a great time in Washington. Congressman, we just pray everybody is safe, and we appreciate you coming on the show today.
Appreciate you having me. Thank you.
All right, Congressman Mike Collins out of Georgia, everybody. And it is going to – are you excited? Can you feel it? It's almost like Christmas Day for grown-ups. You know what I mean? We've been waiting for this moment. The countdown is here, January the 20th at noon 01. I'm telling you, every unemployment office in the Beltway in Washington, D.C. is going to be packed with swamp dwellers filing for unemployment. It'll be a glorious day for America. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. When we come back, we're going to the phones. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, great job yesterday. We had Bart May on, a good buddy of mine from here in the Memphis area, has a great new leadership book out. You guys made that the number, it hit the top five bestseller list in leadership books. Well done, guys. And again, if you want to get a copy of the book, go to toddstearns.com or just search for Bart May on Amazon and you'll be able to get yourself a copy. We'll be right back, folks. All right, welcome back, everybody. Happy to have you with us. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So look, we just had a caller who wanted to weigh in on a very important issue, which happened to be the inaugural prayer. And there's a lot of people upset that a Muslim cleric was invited to deliver a prayer at President Trump's inauguration. So this guy is not just a regular run-of-the-mill Muslim cleric. This is a guy who is pro-Hezbollah, and he's been invited to pray at the inauguration ceremony. I want to know who inside Trump HQ signed off on that. I mean, that's insanity, and it's got to stop. They got to yank. They're going to have to yank it. They're going to have to yank the guy. There's no way that this guy should be allowed to pray. But anyway, that's generating a little bit of controversy right now as we begin to get an idea of who is going to who's going to be speaking, who's going to be participating in the inauguration. Do you have a problem with that? Do you have a problem with a pro-Hezbollah imam delivering a prayer? You got a problem with that? It's I'm telling you, a lot of people very, very unhappy about this. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. The Muslim imam, by the way, from Michigan, and he actually believes that America is the oppressor. His name is Al-Husseini. He says that Saudi leaders are agents of the Jews, so he's an anti-Semite as well. And he said that the so-called Zionist conspiracy should be blamed for any Saudi transgression. He has a history of supporting terrorist groups. Also supports the Ayatollah Khomeini's Islamic Revolution and radical Shiite militiamen in Iraq backed by the Iranian regime. Who signed off on this guy at Trump headquarters? That's what I want to know. Oh, yeah, Franklin Graham's praying too, but that doesn't balance it out. There, if you're going to bring a Muslim on, at least bring somebody who doesn't support Hezbollah, for crying out loud. All right, just a few moments ago, Pete Hegseth raised the issue about his tattoo. So Pete Hegseth has a tattoo, and they're accusing him of being a Christian nationalist and really a white supremacist for having this tattoo, which is, in fact, the Jerusalem cross tattoo. All right? And as a matter of fact, he volunteered to serve at the inauguration, and he was turned down because of this tattoo. So he was asked about that just a few moments ago. Let's take a listen.
You'd mentioned that you were not able to serve with your National Guard unit in the protection of the inauguration of Joe Biden because of a tattoo, a Christian tattoo. Can you elaborate just a little bit on what is this very offensive, extremist, racist tattoo that you have?
It's a tattoo I have right here, Senator. It's called the Jerusalem Cross. Mm. It's a historic Christian symbol. In fact, interestingly, recently I attended briefly the memorial ceremony of former President Jimmy Carter.
Mm-hmm.
On the floor of our National Cathedral, on the front page of his program,
mm-hmm.
was the very same Jerusalem Cross.
Mm-hmm.
It is a Christian religious symbol. And when The events happened before preceding the Biden inauguration. I was a part of the mobilization to defend that inauguration as someone who'd been a proud supporter of Donald Trump, but also a member of the military, had orders to come to Washington, D.C. to guard that inauguration. And at the last minute, those orders were revoked. I'd never had orders revoked before. I'd been on orders to a lot of places to do a lot of difficult and dangerous things. They were revoked, and I was not told why. Later, when I wrote my book, I was able to get information that was because I had been identified. Someone who'd served in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Guantanamo Bay, holding a riot shield outside the White House. I'd been identified as an extremist. Someone unworthy of guarding the inauguration of an incoming American president. And if that's happening to me, Senator, how many other men and women, how many other patriots, how many other people of conscience? We haven't even talked about COVID and the tens of thousands of service members who were kicked out because of an experimental vaccine. In President Trump's Defense Department, they will be apologized to. They will be reinstituted with pay and rank. Things like focusing on extremism, Senator, have created a climate inside our ranks that feel political when it hasn't ever been political. Those are the types of things that are going to change. And Senator Sullivan, you mentioned that study. After a whole study was held, extremism working group study, 100 extremists were identified in the ranks of 3 million. And most of those were gang related.
All right. So apparently now if you have a Jerusalem cross tattoo, that makes you an extremist. Now, keep in mind, it was Bernie Sanders who said born-again Christians should not be allowed to serve in government. This is what we're dealing with. We'll be right back, folks.
Second in command.
Yeah, but I'm just making a point because there's a lot about qualifications, and I think it's so hypocritical of senators, especially on the other side of the aisle, be talking about his qualifications, not being able to lead the secretary or be the Secretary of Defense, and yet your qualifications aren't any better. You guys aren't any more qualified to be the senator than I'm qualified to be the senator, except we're lucky enough to be here. But let me read you what the qualifications of the Secretary of Defense is, because I Googled it, and I Googled it and went through a lot of different sites, and really it's hard to see. But in general, the U.S. Secretary of Defense position is filled by a civilian. That's it. If you have served in the U.S. Army Forces and have been in the service for, you have to be retired for at least 7 years, and Congress can weigh that. And then there's questions that the senator from Massachusetts brought up about serving on a board inside the military industry, and yet your own secretary that you all voted for, Secretary Austin, we had to vote on a waiver because he stepped out the board of Raytheon. But I guess that's okay because that's a Democrat Secretary of Defense. But you so quickly forget about that. And then Senator Kaine, or I guess I better use the senator from Virginia, starts bringing up the fact that what if you showed up drunk to your job? How many senators have showed up drunk to vote at night?
Uh-oh.
Have any of you guys asked them to step down and resign from their job? Mm-hmm. And don't tell me you haven't seen it, because I know you have. Oh. Then how many senators do you know have got a divorce before cheating on their wives?
Hello.
Did you ask them to step down? No. But it's for show. You guys make sure you make a big show and point out the hypocrisy because a man's made a mistake. And you want to sit there and say that he's not qualified? Give me a joke. I mean, it is so ridiculous that you guys hold yourself as this higher standard and you forget you got a big plank in your eye. We've all made mistakes. I've made mistakes. And Jennifer, thank you for loving him through that mistake. Because the only reason why I'm here and not in prison is because my wife loved me too.
Wow.
I have changed, but I'm not perfect. But I found somebody that thought I was perfect. And for whatever reason, you love Pete, and I don't know why. But just like our Lord and Savior forgave me, my wife's had to forgive me more than once, too, and I'm sure you've had to forgive him, too. And so, thank you.
Wow. That's Senator Mark Wayne Mullen out of Oklahoma, and he took us to church there, folks, and he's right. I mean, look, yeah, we've all done horrible things. Do you want your laundry up there aired before the entire nation? No, of course not. Nobody wants that. But for a guy like Pete Hegseth to say, you know what, I've done some pretty awful things in my life. Nothing criminal, but I've done some pretty awful things, and I've made amends. I've gotten right with the Lord, and I'm still willing to put myself up there on the platform. Heck yeah, I respect that. I respect that in Pete Hegseth. But good for you, Senator, for calling these people out for who they really are. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. Also, I just posted this on X, and I'll share it with you. If you have any evidence that any Senate Democrats on the Senate Armed Forces Committee drink, maybe they've gotten drunk at a party, maybe they have booze, maybe they have a wet bar in their office, maybe they've cheated on their spouse, I want you to drop me a message, and we'll investigate that. But you know what? We two can play at this game. They want to go after Pete Hegseth. I can promise you there are a lot of people up on Capitol Hill that are cheating on their spouses. It's like a taxpayer-funded whorehouse is what it is. Yes, I said it, whorehouse. Unbelievable. All right. This item out of California, this is amazing. A dozen Walgreens are now going to shut down. Walgreens announcing that they are closing stores in San Francisco. They say it's never an easy decision, but they're going to shut down a dozen stores. And one of the big reasons why is because of crime. We have seen this over and over and over again. But the radical left policies, the pro-criminal policies of the left, are shutting down businesses around the country. I'll tell you another one, and I know that the malls and the big box stores are going through it. I get that. But here in Memphis, Tennessee, they just announced they're shutting down the Macy's at the Oak Court Mall. That used to be one of the most prominent malls in the Southeast, a very high-end establishment. And now you've got, I mean, basically, you know, sneaker stores, T-shirt places in there. And nobody wants to go there because you put your life in your hands. And when you look at what's happening at malls across America, I mean, there was, I used to visit San Francisco many times, and they have just an incredible shopping district, some of those beautiful high-end stores, and you felt safe. It was just a fun outdoor environment. San Fran is a beautiful city, great architecture, and now that entire downtown area it's a war zone. It is desolate. Desolate. All the malls have shut down. The big box stores gone because of the crime. But you know what happened? A lot of these shopping malls, and I'm a kid of the 80s. I mean, we used to go to the mall back in the day. I mean, that's where you went as a kid, right? You had fun. Your first job was at the mall. I mean, it was a lot of fun. But what happened was now you've got these parents that are dropping off their hoodlums, and they're expecting the mall to be their babysitter. And instead, you've got gangs roaming around, robbing people, causing mayhem, terrorizing shoppers. Nobody wants to go there. Senior citizens used to go mall walking. You know, that used to be a thing back in the day. Right before, the malls would normally open up at what, 11 o'clock in the morning? Well, before that, you would have these senior citizens, they'd get up and they'd walk the mall and get their exercise. But nobody could do that anymore. And nobody wants to address the real issue. And I know that there are people out there screaming that this is racism, that Walgreens is shutting down these stores. But race has nothing to do with it. It has everything to do with crime. And when you look at the big shopping malls, one of the reasons, at least in the Southeast, that they went to an outdoor mall concept, which has been very successful in California. One of the reasons they tried that in the Southeast is because the thugs did not like to go to these outdoor malls. It was not easy for them to target people in the outdoor malls. But it's a shame. I mean, when you look at a big, big, beautiful metropolitan area like Memphis, we're at 1.4 million people, and now the last big mall we have is called the Wolf Chase Galleria. If you go there, you put your life in your hands, right? Now, Dylan, you just got back. You and the missus just went to New York City.
NYC.
Was that your first time? That was the first time in the Big Apple?
Yeah, that's correct.
You didn't get mugged?
No, almost.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, you step off the subway and there's a guy waiting for you outside yelling. So. Oh,
was he just screaming at you?
He was screaming at everybody. So, I mean, I guess I wasn't specified. It was sort of like, you might.
Did I hear that you got screamed at when you came back home? Dieter was telling me about this.
Yes, Todd. As soon as we stepped out of our car at our apartment, a lady drove by me and she screamed the word cracker.
Like, you cracker?
Yeah.
She called you a cracker.
She did.
What did you do in response?
I just waved kindly and I said, it's good to be back.
Oh, Dylan, no, that's a missed opportunity. You should have turned around and hollered back at her. I'm a saltine American, ma'am. A saltine American, not a cracker.
I'm more of a Ritz fan, so.
Oh, you're a high end. All right, yep. You're a high end cracker.
It's a bronze cracker. So.
All right, I love it. So you guys, did you have a good time in?
It was
in New
fun.
York City?
Yeah, we saw as many things as we possibly could in 3 days. So hopefully we'll get to go back and finish, you know, seeing the rest. But
did you go to Katz Deli? Did you make it to the deli?
Didn't make it to Katz, but I heard about it a lot when I was there, and we just couldn't fit it into the schedule.
A lot of Italians there, by the way. A lot of Italian restaurants.
We ate only Italian.
Is that right?
We had the burrata pizza. We had the gnocchi, the pasta.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
You didn't eat at the Olive Garden. Please tell me you did not eat at Olive Garden at
Times We did not visit the Olive Garden or the Chick-fil-A
good.
Or Taco Bell.
Good. Good, good, good. Yeah, you can't do that if you're... It always troubles me when I see all the tourists going to Olive Garden in Times Square.
No, that's a waste of time. And it's more expensive, probably.
Yeah, and the Italians, they'll come after you for that stuff.
I'm sure, yeah.
You can't be doing that.
I was obviously a tourist, by the way. I was saying hello to people.
Did you look up a lot? Yeah. That's the key. You can always tell.
I was looking up a lot. Everybody else was not looking anywhere else, and they were minding their business. I was giving the little head nods, you know, that the Southern people do. Say hi.
Were you in Times Square?
Times Square, yes.
Did you see the naked people?
I saw the costume people.
Okay. Yeah, those are illegals who normally don't bathe, so you don't want to be anywhere around them.
Yeah.
Was the naked cowboy there?
No naked cowboy. It was a little cold.
Okay. Well, that's true. But he's usually out there in his tidy whities.
That's commitment.
And then you've got the women who are topless. You didn't see those.
No,
well, you were with the wife, so you couldn't say if you did.
I would have been shielded from it, probably.
That's true. It's like a National Geographic special down there.
Gosh.
It's terrible.
Yeah, the costume people freaked me out, but I was warned beforehand that there would be those people.
And whatever you do, we should have told you ahead of time, don't take your picture with a costume person. Yeah. They will demand money.
Oh, yes.
And they'll knife you. They'll knife you. Sweet little Minnie Mouse.
Pikachu's going to shock me.
Gut you like a pig.
Crazy. Otherwise, a good trip.
Speaking of tidy whities, we should explain where Ben Dieter is. Ben was, we got a call a couple of weeks ago, and the Republican women of Shelby County, this a massive group, and they're like, we want Ben to be our keynote guy. Where they're doing a big thing. And they asked if Ben could come. We're like, well, it's in the middle of the national show, for crying out loud. But like, we love Ben. So anyway, you can't say no to the Republican women.
No, you can't.
Because they give you things. They give you treats. And they're very kind to you. But you never want to get on the wrong side of a conservative woman. So anyway, they said, can Ben come out and play? And I'm like, well, all right. So anyway, we sent Dieter down there. Dieter was sending me, he's concerned. Because he doesn't want the thing to drag, you know, so he wants to. And I said, look, it's a room full of women. It's you and about 100 or 150 women. And I said, maybe you could just pull a Tom Cruise Risky Business, you know, just rip off the pants, play a guitar.
Wow. That's good advice.
It would certainly liven up the mood. So we'll see
what he comes back with.
We'll see how Dieter does. Yeah, he may be married when he comes back. We don't know. So So anyway, that's where Dieter is today. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. But again, to put a bow on this, Wolf Chase Galleria in Memphis, it really was one of the predominant shopping destinations. But every single major mall, I'm counting four, maybe five, four malls have all shut down. And I'm curious, Dylan, have you been to Wolf Chase lately? When was the last time you and the missus went over there?
Not to shop. I went over there to eat.
Yeah.
So
people don't go into the mall.
No.
It's so bad, they actually shut down the Cheesecake Factory there. You know it's bad.
Tragic.
And it was tragic. And quite frankly, the menu was so thick it would stop a bullet. So that really was one of the safest places to eat at the mall. I'm just saying.
True that.
All right. Got to take a break, folks. We'll be right back. So every 4 years, there is a moment where the outgoing administration welcomes the incoming administration in, and it's a very neighborly thing. It's part of the tradition where you invite, for example, if you're the first lady, you invite the incoming first lady for a little tour of the White House. You get to meet all the White House staff, and they don't call them servants anymore, but the staff is what they call them, and get a feel for where you're going to put everybody. And so, and they do the same thing over at the vice president's residence, which used to be the old Naval Observatory. So we got word, and we have the story up at toddstearns.com. We got word that Kamala Harris declined to invite the Vance family for their courtesy visit. And, you know, J.D. Vance and his wife, Usha, they've got three young children, and they're going to be moving into the residence on January 20th. And it'll be their very first time inside the mansion. By the way, that mansion's been home to the vice president since the 1970s. But sources are telling CBS News that Kamala Harris did not extend an invitation for a formal sit-down or a tour. And this is, by the way, coming from multiple Democrat and Republican sources. Real classy lady. Real classy Kamala. She's the one saying, we've got to unite everybody. Give me a break. According to CBS News, in November, Mrs. Vance reached out to staff for the home's current occupants, seeking details, including what they would need to childproof the home. So get this, they've got three kids. All of them are under the age of 8 years old. Ewan, Vivek, Mirabel, those are the children, lovely kids. And it makes sense that Mrs. Vance would say, hey, you know, we just need to get some details of, you know, what does the layout of the home look like? You know, we need to, you know, get the rooms for the kids. And it turns out, according to CBS News, that a political appointee rebuffed the questions. Who does that? What kind of a lowlife person would do something like that? Before Christmas, Navy officials got wind of all of this, and the Navy provided an overview of the house to discuss the layout of the residence, logistics, practicalities of the move-in, and so forth and so on. But it's really sad, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen? And you get an idea of what Kamala Harris is really all about. What an ugly woman. Very ugly soul. It's pretty despicable. And here's the thing, and this is just the way we do things, and maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's the upbringing, but just because you're a liberal is no reason to be impolite. No need to be rude. You know, in the South, we extend the right hand of Christian fellowship to everybody, regardless of political affiliation. I tell the story of my parents who got to know Jimmy and Rosalind Carter back in the day. Whenever they would come for the church supper, Mom would always make sure that President Carter got his fill of potato salad. It didn't matter that he was a Democrat. Mom was a Republican. You got to feed people. That's what we do in the South. You got to take care of folks. So it's pretty shameful that Harris did this. So, again, we don't know why. CBS News reached out to Kamala Harris. Why are you being so rude, lady? And they didn't respond. So it could be, and maybe there is a legitimate reason why. You know how it is? Sometimes you don't want company to come over. Maybe Kamala didn't have time to vacuum or clean up the house. Maybe she's just a bad housekeeper. That could be it. I hate to broach this subject here, but it could be that Kamala may be a day drinker. I mean, we've all seen it. You know what I'm talking about. The slurred words, the phrases that make no sense, the weird laugh. You think that is not a sober person's laugh, ladies and gentlemen. So maybe she is a day drinker, or maybe the staff was just trying to unclog the bathroom drain where all those collard greens got sucked out. I don't know, but there's no reason to be rude, Kamala. None whatsoever. All right, look, we've got to take a quick break here. By the way, head over to our website, and if you haven't done so, check out our awesome podcast. You're going to love it, toddstearns.com. Our latest podcast, Steve Bannon Sounds Alarm on Elon Musk. You're going to want to listen to this one, and it's free of charge. We'll be right back, folks.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, something very interesting is going on, and I don't want to speculate, but we're going to speculate. So, we've all heard the rumors that about Barack and Michelle, BM, Big Mike, as we call her, Big M. And I've discounted those rumors. I mean, I've seen the same photos. I've read the same stories you've read. Certainly people get a chuckle out of that kind of stuff. It doesn't matter to me one way or the other. But something's not right there in the marriage of Barack Hussein Obama and Big M. Something's not quite right. Something's going on. So you remember a couple of days ago, we had Jimmy Carter's funeral, dead at the age of 100, and everybody was there. Everybody was there. Even Mike Pence and his wife, the original Karen, they were there. Everybody was there. Even Al Gore was there. The only person missing was the first lady, Big M, Michelle Obama. She was not there. And so reporters reached out. They said, what happened? Is she okay? I mean, is she sick? Did she get lost? Was there a flat tire? What happened? No, that wasn't it. No, they said she was on vacation in Hawaii. And she wasn't all that too keen on disrupting her vacation to pay her respects to, a dead white guy, I guess. I'm just speculating here, just positing some theories. Maybe she had a hula lesson. We don't know. Maybe she was going to a luau. We don't know. But what we do know is she wasn't there by her husband's side. And so people started, whispering, hey, what's up with that? The Obama's okay, she does wear the pants in the household, among other things. So we've been told. So people have been talking. And you know how it is. Tittle tattle. Well, now we got word that Michelle Obama will not be attending President-elect Trump's inauguration. What's up with that? According to a statement from the office of Barack and Big M Obama, former President Barack Obama is confirmed to be to attend the 60th inaugural ceremonies. Former First Lady Michelle Obama will not attend the upcoming inauguration. No other explanation. This coming from the Associated Press. Now, we did some checking. President Joe and Dr. Mrs. First Lady Jill, they're going to be there. Barack's going to be there. Former President George W. Bush and Mrs. Bush are going to be there. So will Bill and Hillary, the fighting Clintons. They're all going to be there. But Michelle Obama, once again, is AWOL. I want to know what's going on. Are she and Barack having some marital problems here? Does she have a long-standing appointment to get her hair done? Maybe she's got a reservation over at, I don't know, Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. But for whatever reason, she's not going to be there. There's one of two things. Number one, there's really something going on, and she and Barack are not sharing the marriage bed, as they say. Or could it be that Mrs. O is suffering from a terminal case of Trump derangement syndrome? Is it possible that may very well be what's going on here? And we know that because back in 2023, Mrs. O sat down and did a podcast, and she was telling her podcast audience that after Trump was inaugurated in 2016, she's literally, I'm not making this up, she literally said that she sat down and cried for half an hour. What? Who does that? Who? What? You cried? Nobody cries in politics, ma'am. But she cried. She also said she was in a bad mood during their service. Oh, we know. You didn't hide it very well, Mrs. O. I'm trying to be polite here. So we don't know what she's going to be doing. Maybe she's going to head over to the VP's house and she and Kamala can sit on the couch and they can share a bottle of Josh. We don't know. Or a case, as the case may be. But there you have it. The big news coming out. Michelle Obama will not be attending President Trump's inauguration. I don't think Trump's going to miss her all that much. Maybe that's what Trump and Obama were talking about. They shared a couple of good laughs. You know, Obama was, I don't think he would have done that if Michelle had been there. I think Michelle would have taken him down. I do. All right, 901-260-5926. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, a lot of folks wondering if the flags in the U.S. Capitol are going to be at full staff. We know that in Texas and Alabama, the governors there, Abbott and Kay Ivey, have ordered the flags be flown at full staff. And the reason why they're at half staff, it's, 30 days of mourning for Jimmy Carter. And there are a lot of people that are really upset because the flags in the nation's capital are going to be at half staff for Trump's inauguration. So what do you think? Should we raise those flags in honor of President Donald J. Trump? I don't know if you heard this story. So the village people are going to be performing. Lee Greenwood, Jason Aldean is going to be there. Also, Carrie Underwood, the Jesus Take the Wheel. We talked about this briefly yesterday. You know what I find fascinating about this story is that Carrie Underwood is now facing this firestorm of controversy from her fans. And they're all very upset. How could you do this to us, you MAGA woman? Well, you know, I mean, Carrie Underwood's a patriot, and she put out a statement, said, look, I love my country. I'm honored to have been asked to sing at the inauguration and to be a small part of this historic event. Whoever wrote this did a terrific job. I am humbled to answer the call at a time when we must all come together in the spirit of unity and looking to the future. You're a traitor! Traitor! Literally, that's what they're calling her. So one liberal writing on X, you are a traitor to your country and your gender. Can you really be a gender traitor? Maybe that's a new gender. Gender queer, gender neutral, gender traitor. It's seasonal now, you know. Dylan, did you know that? You can.
Yeah, I'm aware now.
Feel like an acorn in the spring and an oak tree in the summer. It's just all very confusing. Mm. Anyway, the Daily Beast headline, Carrie Underwood comes out as MAGA with Trump inauguration gig. But I love our good buddy John Rich. He's going to be on the show later this week. John Rich said, look, here's the deal. Carrie Underwood is a patriot, first of all, but he also said something, and this is true, and I know this from the Christian music world. There are a lot of Christian music artists that are pro-Trump, but they're in the closet, and they're afraid to come out because of the blowback. In the Christian world, contemporary Christian music world, CCM. Anyway, John Rich says, he was writing this on X, he says, there are several top-tier country artists who support Trump, and I wish they finally had the balls to come forward and be counted. Ain't nothing outlaw about keeping your mouth shut to appease the record label. Amen. Preach it, Brother John. He goes on to say, Carrie Underwood is making you look like a bunch of sissy boys. Amen, brother. Sissy boys. Did you hear him? Sissy boys. Somebody said this. I don't know if Carrie Underwood voted for Donald Trump or not. I do know she graciously accepted an invitation to perform at his inauguration. Nashville is liberal, and country music is surprisingly pretty woke. Good for her for putting country ahead of her career. And I don't know who wrote that, but they're 10,000% accurate here. Because country music, if you go to Nashville now, they've ruined a great southern city. They really have. When you go down to Lower Broadway, it looks like Disney World down there now. And it used to be where you had honky-tonks, street fights, bar fights, good old country music that was country music. And now I don't even know if you can classify half of the stuff coming out of Nashville as country music these days. It's really sad. But we've had a lot of people from California move to Nashville, and they've turned it into, we call it Nash Vegas here. And then, Dylan, I don't know if you've been down there on the weekends, but it's like Bridezilla down there. All the bridal showers, the bridal parties, they do their getaways in Nashville.
Yeah, it's like a shock if you don't go to Nashville.
What did we do to deserve that?
Why did that have to start?
Wow, I was watching that. You know those bicycle things they have, where like, you know, it's there's like a bar in the center of, and everybody's pedaling.
Yes, it's like the party bus, but you're doing it yourself.
Right, exactly. And so they have those and. I was just minding my own business. I was over by the Country Music Hall of Fame, and they were peddling. They were like screaming and what for, and they can't hold their liquor like Kamala. And you know, one of them like was puking all over the place.
Oh, wow. But they were on someone else's shoes.
Fortunately, they were in the back of the bus, so it was just, you know, felt bad for the car. I hope they had some windshield wiper fluid.
Oh boy,
yeah, it was not good, not pretty. But all that to say is that for Carrie Underwood to do something like this, if she is not a Trump supporter, or even if she is, it doesn't really matter. It's a bold move because right now country music has gone woke. You know, I wrote a book many years ago about what happened with Mike Huckabee when he stepped out of the Country Music Association's foundation because the head of the association, a gay guy, and who was married to another dude, and they hated Christian conservatives. And they were literally going to encourage people to stop giving money to the foundation. And that foundation, the whole point of the foundation was to raise money to get little boys and girls musical instruments. And you had the gay mafia over in Nashville, and they were like, well, you know what? If Mike Huckabee's on this, we're not giving any of the children musical instruments. I mean, how terrible is that? But anyway, that's what we're dealing with in Nashville and in country music. So I'm with John Rich, and it is time. And hear me on this. If you're a Christian artist and you're scared, come on. Buck up. That's what I say. Buck up. God is on your side. Trump is on your side. Get out there and say that you're a Trump guy or you're a Trump gal. The reality is, I probably shouldn't say this. No, Dylan, I can't say it. I should say it, but I can't. Okay, I'm going to say it. I don't think a lot of the people in Christian music are actually Christian. I said it. Just like I don't think a lot of the people in country music are country. And I find more, wow, I am stepping, I really shouldn't say this. I find more authenticity in a country music singer talking about his life than I do in some of these Christian songs. I'm in such trouble now. There goes my dub nomination. Oh, well, you know what I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we got to take a break. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901 260-5926. My favorite, one of my favorite country music songs. Get off the stove, Granny. You're too old to ride the range.
I support Israel's existential war in Gaza. I assume, like me and President Trump, you support that war as well, don't you?
Senator, I do. I support Israel destroying and killing every last member of Hamas.
And the third protester said something about 20 years of genocide. I assume that's our wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Do you think our troops are committing genocide in Iraq and Afghanistan?
Senator, I do not. I think our troops, as you know, as so many on this committee know, did the best they could with what they had.
Yeah, I'm with you, Hegseth. By the way, here's one of these left-wing loons who was literally carried. They had to carry him out of the room. Cut number 8.
Addressing the recruiting crisis, the retention crisis, and readiness crisis in our ranks.
Members of the security force will remove members.
What did he say? Wow. Here's another one. Cut number 2.
And to all the troops and veterans watching and here in the room, Navy SEALs, Green Berets, soldiers, pilots, sailors, Marines, Gold Stars, and more, too many friends to name. Officers, enlisted, black and white, young and old, men and women, all Americans, all warriors. This hearing is for you. Thank you for figuratively and literally having my back.
You are a misogynist. Not only that, you are a Christian Zionist.
Oh, the guy got nervous.
You are a Christian. No, come on. You got to, you know, this is the problem with these modern day protesters. Number one, you know, you tase them and they're down for the count. But the problem is they don't really practice what they're going to say. And it's not all that clever, right? You've got a national audience. You somehow managed to sneak in to the hearing room. At least be somewhat creative, for crying out loud. You are a Christian nationalist. All right. If you say so. So that's a little flavor of what's going on right now inside the hearing room. I will say this. Things are going very smoothly. But a word of warning to all of you Republicans up on Capitol Hill. Anybody who stands in the way of President Trump's agenda gets primaried in the midterms. I don't care who you are. You're going to get primaried. We do not have time for the tomfoolery. Not this go around. So you're either going to get with the program or you're gone. I mean, it really is going to be that simple. You've got to get on board right now. Oh, here's, I told you I wasn't going to do this, but this is Kirsten Gillibrand, the Congress babe from New York. Cut number 12.
As you said in your statement, do you agree anybody should be able to serve in the military if they meet the standards?
Senator, as the president has stated, I don't disagree with the overturn of Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Great, because I don't want you thinking, can't serve if you're a mom, can't serve if you're LGBTQ, and then last, can't serve if you're a leftist. The statements you said about people who have views differently than you, that we're the enemy, are you saying the 50% of the DOD, if they hold liberal views or leftist views or are Democrats, are not welcome in the military? Are you saying that?
Senator, I volunteered to deploy to Afghanistan under Democrat President Barack Obama. I also volunteered to guard the inauguration of Joe Biden, but was denied the opportunity to serve because I was identified as an extremist by my own unit for a Christian tattoo.
Yeah, that's a problem for me. If you think the Jerusalem cross is a sign of white supremacy, you've got big problems. All right, got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
you, Mr. Chairman. Pete, I'm actually going to ask you questions because I want to hear your answer. How many genders are there? Tough one.
Senator, there are two genders.
I know that well. I'm a she-he, so I'm on board.
Okay. All right, that's it. That's Congressman She-he. I'm sorry. Can we play that again? That's the best line of the day, I think.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pete, I'm actually going to ask you questions because I want to hear your answer. How many genders are there? Tough one.
Senator, there are two genders.
I know that well. I'm a she-he, so I'm on board.
I'm sorry. That's great. Wow. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Pete Hegseth going through the confirmation process, and it's ugly. The Democrats are just being jerks. They're just nasty folks, just nasty. I want to go back, and there's some audio. This is a bit of a lengthy clip here, but it's important for you to hear this because this is what's happening in the Pentagon. And folks, understand this. We just went through 4 years of lawmakers telling us that we were not able to win wars anymore because our military had been weakened. And this was all very intentional. All very intentional. So when Pete Hegseth goes in there, his job is to clean all of this up and to get us back into military readiness and preparedness. And many of you you've called the program and you've told me the same thing. You've heard it from your sons, your daughters, veterans saying, you know what, we're talking about this down at the VFW hall. But military readiness is a grave concern. And this is the reason why. The Senator John Kennedy out of Louisiana, talking to a military official, a Pentagon official, and I want you to listen to this this exchange. Cut one.
Yes, you believe in open borders, don't you?
I believe in the rule of law, sir.
Right. And it makes you angry that President Trump does not believe in open borders, doesn't it?
Senator, I'm not here to discuss immigration policy. I'm here to discuss whether or not we use the military to enforce it.
And it makes you angry that most Americans don't believe in open borders, doesn't it?
Not in the slightest, sir. Again, I am not here to discuss immigration policy.
Yeah. Duty, honor, respect, you talked about that.
Yes, sir.
In your opening statement. On October 14th of this year, you went on CNN. I want to read you what you said. Make sure I'm accurate. Here's what you said. President Trump is not like any sane leader. I'm very proud of General Milley for saying that President Trump is a total fascist. To Bob Woodward, if he as chairman of the Joint Chiefs is calling the president a fascist, I'm so proud of him for breaking that barrier. The challenge is because most MAGA Republicans, they don't understand what fascism is. The reality is that they are, in fact, fascists themselves. Did I read that accurately?
Senator, I am happy to discuss my personal perspective with you separately at any time. That's not the purpose of the hearing today.
Did I read that accurately?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. You think you're smarter than the American people, don't you?
Absolutely not, Senator. I am here to discuss the use of the military as part of this mass deportation.
You think you're more virtuous than the American people, don't you, General?
Senator, I am insulted by your comment.
Duty, honor, and respect. You talked about that in your opening statement, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
Ms. Moran said, I wrote down her words. She said, by their actions, you know what someone's character is like.
You agree with that?
Senator, for 35 years, I served my country with absolute honor and distinction, and I will continue to do so.
You agree with what Ms. Moran said?
Of course.
Mr., got a few minutes left.
23 seconds.
Well, actually, you let Ms. Klobuchar go well over, so I'm assuming you'll extend me the
I'll
same
I'll give you the same minute I gave to her.
You gave it a minute 20. I timed it.
You're using... You're
I watch you like a hawk, Dick. Mr. Melnick, Mr. Reichland Melnick, you believe in open borders too, don't you?
I do not, Mr. Kennedy.
Okay. On November 1st, 2022, you tweeted, both Texas and Louisiana have their knives out for black immigrants. Do you remember that tweet?
I don't, but it's quite possible.
What Texans, it's not only possible, it happened. You're not denying it, are you?
No, I'm saying, referring to the context.
Who are you talking to?
I actually don't know the context.
Who are you talking to about who in Texas had their knives out for black immigrants?
I'm guessing the context, but my suspicion is that it has to do the Attorney General Ken Paxton and the Attorney General of Louisiana. I just did.
You don't have a name, do you?
I just said Ken Paxton.
You don't have a name, do you? You just said it.
I just said Ken Paxton.
All right, how about Louisiana? You said Louisiana has its knives out for black immigrants. Who in Louisiana were you talking about?
Again, I'm not certain. That was 2 years ago, and as I'm sure you know, much has happened in the last 2 years.
Well, did you say it?
Again, I do not remember
all
the
right,
context.
So there you go. That shows you the contempt that these people at the Pentagon have for all of us. It's really ugly. And so I'm excited about Pete Hegseth. He is going to be confirmed here. And understand this, and you're going to hear a lot of talk today about how unqualified Pete is. Here's what you need to know. He has degrees from Princeton and Harvard, two Bronze Stars. He's a major in the Army National Guard. He had tours in Afghanistan and Iraq. And he made a boatload of money working at Fox News. Salary $4 million a year over at Fox. So this is a very well-qualified, well-versed human being compared to the last guy we've got in there. All right, 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up at 5 o'clock, we're going to take you back out to California for the wildfires on the Todd Stern Show coming up on Newsmax 2. There, by the way, Joe Biden now announcing that they're going to be providing some money for the victims who lost everything. Their homes have been turned to ashes. The average home price in Pacific Palisades around $4 million, by the way. And here's what President Biden's going to do for you good folks out there in California. Cut four.
And I want to be clear. We're not waiting until those fires are over to start helping the victims. We're getting them help right now, as you all know. People impacted by these fires are going to receive one-time payment of $770. One-time payment. So they can quickly purchase things like water, baby formula, and prescriptions. So far, nearly 6,000 survivors have registered to do just that, and $5.1 million has gone out.
Wow. Wow. Thank you. Such generosity. Thank you, Mr. President. $770. That, by the way, is more than the people in North Carolina are getting. Just want to point that out. But a lot of people are really upset over this now. What do you mean $770? What? Where is the help going? And I hate to break it to you folks in Pacific Palisades, but you ain't Ukraine. 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. Yeah, I just got a message here. Hey, Stearns, why aren't the people of North Carolina holding their governor accountable for what's happening in the western part of the state? That's a good question. Of course, North Carolina ruled by Democrats. I will say this, and there is a very distinct difference between what happened in North Carolina and what's happening right now in Southern California. First of all, in Southern California, this is a regular occurrence. The wildfires happen on a very regular basis. What happened in the mountains of North Carolina is a catastrophe that no one could have predicted and hasn't happened, I mean, in, what, 100-something years at least, if that? Now, you cannot prepare for something like that, but you could have prepared for what happened in Southern California. So I'm willing, I mean, you know, again, you got to cut a little bit of slack here, because when you've got something that's catastrophic that's never happened before, yeah, that, you know, what are you going to do? You do the best you can possibly do. But what we should expect the governor of North Carolina to be doing is out there holding the press conference saying that the federal government has completely let down the state, because the response from the federal government and from FEMA has been appalling. By the way, Samaritan's Purse, somebody sent me a note about this. Samaritan's Purse is boots on the ground in North Carolina, and they're doing some incredible work. If you want to give money, you give it to Samaritan's Purse. Don't give it to the Red Cross. Don't give it to any of these government agencies. Give it to the Red Cross, and they'll make sure it gets to where it needs to be. There's a story in the Los Angeles Times that caught my attention, and I had no idea this was a thing, but it's fascinating. Rick Caruso, who was running, he ran for mayor. The guy's a billionaire, a big-time developer in Southern California, lives in the Pacific Palisades area. And he lost predominantly because he's a white guy. He's also a Democrat, by the way, but he's a white guy. And as I have said many times on this program, it's going to be harder and harder for white guys to get nominated or elected if they're Democrats. So anyway, Caruso has been very critical of the response from City Hall. There was no preparation. And the National Weather Service had come out days in advance and said, heads up, there's going to be a lot of fire. There's going to be a lot of wind. There's a possibility for major fires. So you got to get ready. Well, Caruso did exactly what the National Weather Service suggested, and he's coming under fire for this. But this is fascinating. It turns out that the reason why, and if you look at Caruso's home in Brentwood, there's nothing wrong with it. Nothing burned at his home. His home survived the firestorms. Also, his giant high-end shopping center, completely unscathed by the fires. And why is that? Well, when Caruso found out what was about to happen, he hired a private firefighting company. He hired about a dozen private firefighters, and he stationed them around his home. Also, he stationed them around his properties. And when the fires came, those firefighters saved his homes. And it's pretty remarkable. I had no idea you could do such a thing, but in California, and he's not the only one, many of these people, many of the high-end guys, hired private firefighters to help with the firestorms. In other words, Caruso knew that City Hall was going to let them down. So he took matters into his own hands. Now, most of us probably could not afford to purchase their own private firefighting guys. But what they do is these firefighters, many of them work for outlying departments. When they've got a day off, they say, you know what, hire me for this or that, and we'll do it. There's actually a company called West Coast Water Tenders. They provide 4,000-gallon tactical water trucks, grading equipment, and mobile retardant bases. This is fascinating. One firefighter telling the Times that it's just about being precautionary. See, and it's about being prepared. I think it's a brilliant move. People are upset. How dare he? Well, it's his money. He can spend it however he wants to. And by the way, how many of you people, and again, it's horrible anybody lost a house, but if you're living in an area that is prone to these fires, how many of your homes were built out of wood? How many of your homes had wooden, you know, again, a lot of these homes, they're being told go to metal roofs because that'll save you or at least give you some protection from the fires. Caruso, I'm reading from the Times here, owns several shopping centers, including The Grove, the Americana in Glendale, and Palisades Village, a retail residential complex in the heart of the Palisades that was damaged in the fire but remains standing. On Wednesday, he told the New York Times he had deployed a private firefighting team to save the complex, which includes a movie theater, a grocery store, and restaurants and retailers, high-end retailers. Private firefighting units have been controversial in recent years, becoming a symbol of access for the wealthy and drawing criticism from heightening class divides during disasters. Well, I don't see it like that at all. I mean, if you've got the money, you are saving your house. I mean, it doesn't matter who you are. Now, the firms that lease out these firefighters say such services are a win-win. If a homeowner's home is saved, the insurance company doesn't have to make a payout. And the other issue here is a lot of these insurance companies, they went out there and they canceled the homeowner's policies. Despicable. Despicable. How do you feel about that one, folks? 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. It's interesting. People are really upset about this in Los Angeles. But again, why would you not? The rich have better things because they've got more money. But that doesn't mean that you cannot prepare as well. A lot of these homes that went up in flames were surrounded by all of this lush vegetation that is nothing more than fuel for the fire. And again, I'm not placing blame on anybody. I'm just trying to tell you that you've got to do what you can do to save your property. And in this case, if you don't have $10,000 a day to rent out a firefighter, then you got to take matters into your own hands. I'm just saying. All right, folks. Hey, coming up tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, we're going to have a live report from Capitol Hill, the latest on the confirmation hearings. Also, we have Speaker Mike Johnson, who is holding a presser right now, protecting women and girls in sports, a piece of legislation Riley Gaines up on Capitol Hill. We're going to have more on that story, as well as a live report from out in Southern California, the very latest. Winds are whipping up again, and folks, they're saying more fires. More fires are coming. It's really sad. In the meantime, I want to encourage you to head out to our website, toddstearns.com. We're making a lot of changes, adding a lot of new daily content, and it's information that I know that you're going to love, information you will not find anywhere else. So again, toddstearns.com. Get the podcast. Download our newsletter as well. All right, folks, got to scoot out of here. Been a great day. Pray for Pete Hegseth and his family. Pray for all of President Trump's nominees. They're going to need it as they go into the belly of the beast. Get out there and have a great one, everybody. You be good, America.